The opinions expressed on this program are not those of Greater Media or its management, staff, advertisers, or ownership.
Welcome to Life Advice with Jennifer Lewis Hall, life coach, author, and journalist. Join us for Jennifer's conversation series discussing issues, events, and advice to help you navigate life's challenges.
Welcome to Life Advice. This is your host, Jennifer Lewis Hall. So glad you're with us. Exciting stuff to talk about. Not only the season that we're in, but it's also the season where we find a lot of weddings and events happening. And with that, we've got kind of two parts going on. This couple of weeks, we're really talking about how to get our finances in order. You know how they say get your house in order? Well, get your financial house in order is what we're going to be talking about. So even though you can have lazy, hazy days of summer, and you're kind of a distance away from what we may think is kind of tax planning and all of that that tends to come down to crunch time for us and a time when a lot of people pull out those file folders, pull out those files and tax records. Now is not a bad time to get some things in gear and in order. To help us do that, actually, we're talking to an expert that is going to provide some tips for us and focus on two parts of this. In today's show, we're talking about a number of top 10 tips, the top 10 money tips for married couples and individuals even that can benefit from this, because there's so many things that you need to know, particularly as couples. What are your money values like? What are some of the best ways that you can set yourselves up for financial success? What does that financial success say? And focusing on that in terms of your relationship. Focusing on finances is not something unusual, but then again, people say it's one of the top 10 stressors, if not maybe the top one or two that can occur in a relationship. So today, we get to sit back, relax, but get some great information. So you're going to want to stay with us the whole show long because we've got a wonderful expert joining us to talk about this. In fact, her name is Winnie Sun, and she's got a number of great things that she's going to share with us. She is a financial planner, and Winnie, we're just so glad to have you on Life Advice. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jennifer, for having me. Excited to be here.
Well, you know, it's funny because this is kind of like the laid-back time of year for some folks. Not a lot in the way of, you know, budgetary issues. You're coming, you know, to a close with state budgets, federal budgets. You're saying, okay, yes, that's the big picture. But the bigger picture sometimes can be right in your own home, right in your own bank account, as you're talking about getting your own house in order.
Yeah.
It's still very important and one of the stressors on couples.
For sure. Absolutely. I mean, we as married couples, there's so many different issues. You just got to be okay with the fact that healthy marriages, we're going to have disagreements over money, and it's totally okay and it's healthy, but you have to expect it. There's just a little, there's a few things that you can do to make your life just a little bit simpler.
Now, you're a managing director and founding partner of Sun Group Wealth Partners and, you know, financial consulting firm. You provide financial planning services to small business owners and executives, you know, established families, but even those, I think, who will say, well, I'm not that established, or I haven't really saved, or, you know, what do I need to know? Would you tell them that, you know what, that's okay, we're starting today because we can't go back in time? I think sometimes people think, well, it's too late, or if I'm a younger couple, I don't have enough, we don't know enough. What do you tell people out there that relates to, you know, get started?
I think your question is absolutely true, and it's something that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, but you're absolutely right. The perfect day to start is today. It's like anything else. You know, I have a six-year-old, and I'm starting to teach him bits and pieces about finances. It's really, it's never too late, and it's not too early. But if you get started, it's just like starting to eat right. It just takes small steps. And ideally, it's great if you have some money saved up, but if you don't, it's not too late. You can start today.
Does it matter in terms of what your age is? Sometimes people say, well, if I'm 50 or 60, you know, and I didn't start that solid retirement window, is it better to at least get started and begin to think about, especially with us, thankfully, living longer, that could still make a big difference, even just tapping into that 10 or 20 year time horizon?
Absolutely. And in fact, if you're starting in your 50s and 60s, you kind of have to get a move on. And that's really more of a reality check than anything. Not only is there still time, but you really have to make the most of your time. Because unlike someone who's starting in their 20s, you know, we're talking about a shorter time horizon to invest. So you're going to have to really gun down and get those expenses in place and really start saving aggressively. But most importantly, it's probably a good idea for you also to get some help. Like I'll say, it's good to have like a money coach or a good friend who can kind of walk you through the pieces to make sure you make less mistakes. Because you don't have as much time to make those mistakes. You really have to get down to business.
Excellent. Well, I think that, you know, let's get down to business right now. There is a financial checklist prior to marriage that you say people really need to think about. And thinking about, you know, doing this, making this checklist before you move in with your partner, or even if you have, going over some things that could be vitally important. Take us through the financial checklist, and then we can talk about how we can arrive at moving on this list.
Absolutely. There's a whole bunch of things. I mean, if you're already, I'm gonna give you kind of some pointers that kind of are applicable to being married or pre-married. So number one, you got to be really open about your finances. The more open you are about it, the easier this process is for one another. And number two, don't judge. You just want to tackle whatever it is that you have, whether it be debt, whether you have poor credit score. You know, we want to make sure that you're in a safe place when the two of you are together. Number three, I would say you want to create a couple budget. And this is kind of fun because it's kind of like the Amazing Race for finances. You're in it together. What you want to do is you're going through different challenges of life already. And life is fun, but it can be challenging. So let's not make money part of it. But we want to have a similar goal in mind. We want to plan money to spend together, plan individual money, plan to save, invest, and even if you want to give. The fourth one would be, you know, do one for me and one for you when it comes to retirement savings, meaning that if you save a dollar in one account, then you save a dollar in the other account for each of you. So you're on the same page in terms of how much you save. You don't have to invest the same way, but you should save the same way. I would also recommend that you see an advisor with respect to both as equal partners. This is really key. Whenever I have clients come in and I find that they're married or they're about to be married, I always emphasize it'd be really great if you come in together. Because it's nice when everybody's on the same page, and you might interpret what I say to one of you differently than the other, and that's good. So you can go back and talk about, well, did she say this, or should we put together a plan for this? But if only one person goes to that meeting, you're losing information. It's also, you feel like the other person's kind of not involved. So there's issues with that. So it's easier if you're all in the same party together. Another one is if one spouse decides to do a career change or decides to work from home, that's something that you should talk about as a couple and make sure you deal with that from a financial standpoint and be really open with that. Because that's something that we find that can really put havoc on a happy marriage. One thing that I do with my husband, and this is something that I hope that you consider, is don't make any major purchases without the other one knowing. It's really just so much easier if you just talk about it. Communication is key, especially as it pertains to finances. And that how big, you know, at what point do you talk about, that's really something that the two of you have to decide. What that number is, like for my husband and I, it's generally like anything over $200 we like to talk about, but we get to a point we talk about everything, which is just so much healthier. The other thing I would say is really important is don't borrow without the other one knowing.
Wow, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, that's a big one.
So a lot of trust goes into this.
It does, yeah. A lot of communication goes into it. The more you talk about money, the easier it is. I take for granted because this is what I do for a living. And my husband doesn't do this for a living, but you know he's gotten used to us always talking about money, so it's a really non-issue, and it becomes a very healthy discussion. The other one I would say is you want to make sure that you pay off debts together before you spend. And so once you're married, it doesn't matter if it's his debt or your debt; it's our debt, and you want to address that and you want to get it taken care of before you start saving or investing or buying more stuff. And I guess, you know, another one is visit your CPA and financial advisor together, like we kind of talked about before. And that way you can do everything together and everybody, there's nothing missing and there's you get over a lot of trust issues this way because everybody has different things in mind. And that would be, I guess that would be my top 10.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, I think that's really, I think it's really key that you said the word communication. And then I had also mentioned the word trust. And I think that, you know, depending upon you know, your view of money. Different people have different viewpoints about how to spend it, what it's for, how should it be used, what are the priorities? And I always call it my money values. What are your money values that I write about in one of my books, you know, to really say, you know, how do you communicate over this? This kind of resource that is what tends to be more scarce and plentiful, especially in these days. And you're, you know, you may have a family or other commitments that you have, and then you're coming together as a couple. What are those values and how do you meet in the center with that? And I thought you said it was really interesting is that when you get together, this is something key. You were saying that it's not just, well, that was your issue or problem or debt. And now that's, you know, so you stick with that and I'm free and clear. You're saying it's now, one, you have to talk about how to resolve this. You put in $1, they put in $1. So that then you're also conversely doing it together. Are these things that couples come to talk about at all? It doesn't seem to be unheard of now that more and more you hear about prenuptial agreements and things like that, even for couples who are not necessarily wealthy, but people who want to say, this is how I view what I have and this is what I want to do with it prior to coming together with someone else. Have you seen this more often now than before?
Oh, absolutely. And it's something that I actively seek out. So I have a client that I know is going to get married or just someone I know. I said, you know, come in, let's just talk about it. And it'll just make everything so much easier. And it's nice to have a third party kind of help you with it, because some things you just, it's a little odd, right? I mean, you're about to get married. You're so happy and you're picking out the flowers and the dress and you're not really thinking about money. But what happens is, you know, FICO, when you get married, FICO sees you as one, right? So you might as well start. You kind of want to get all the cobwebs out, like where, as it pertains to money going in, because it's going to come out anyway. So why not deal with it prior to getting married? And like, really, if possible, I really like couples getting married after they get the debt settled. So you go into marriage nice and clean, no debt, and you start fresh, you know?
So you're saying then basically try to clear this stuff up, know where you stand and what you want to do about it and what each other's responsibilities are. And then that way that communication is clear.
Right. Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about where sometimes couples go wrong. What are some of the pitfalls that can take place? And if you're not careful, not only could it make the relationship difficult, but the goal, too, is to not have excessive amounts of debt that you can't afford to pay off in a timely manner. So what are some of the things that can go wrong for couples if they're not careful?
Well, you know, sometimes you'll see that there's just different objectives, and you got to be okay with that. I mean, we get our financial literacy in a lot of ways from our parents. So we obviously had different parents. So the way we were brought up is different. So our mindset and our view of money and how to budget and save is very different. So oftentimes you'll be attracted to someone with a different history, right? And so you have to be okay with that. And it has to be a happy medium. So you got to accept the fact that you're different. Your objectives are different and your investments don't have to be the same way. They don't have to plan the same way. And most importantly, this is a big one. This is going to happen no matter what. One of you is probably going to earn more than the other. And there's going to be issues with that. And you have to talk about it. And we're not defined by how much income that we make. We have to be okay with that as a couple. But we have to understand as a couple that it's our money and it becomes, that's great that you make more or I make more, but it's just helping us as a family budget, you know, even if you don't have kids, it's one budget.
So take that. And this is going to lead me to my next question. And really our next thing to go through, which is really, you mentioned the word budget, hugely important. You know, that a budget is a way that we can actually stay on track, even if we haven't had problems in the past. But why would you reiterate that with couples or growing families or people who have been together for a number of years and haven't been sticking to a budget? Why is that so important? And then let's go through, again, how to devise a good budget for you.
Well, you know, I think a budget is really important. I kind of look at it a little differently because I know the word budget's being used all the time. I mean, I've been doing discussions on it all day long, and I kind of want to change that. I don't think it should be called budget. I think we should have common goals. If you, because budget is like, when I think of budget, I think of, oh goodness, I'm going to have to go do all this work and pull out my finances and do line by line. It's like no more fun than going to the dentist. But if you think about it as goal planning, right? And I have different things that I really want to save for. The priority then is to fulfill my wish list versus, oh goodness, what am I spending? I'm going to have to tell my husband and I bought this and that. And, oh, my kids need this. It becomes a negative versus a positive. So we got to change that. So we got to rename budget. I think you and I need to make a commitment to do that. Because
that's great.
You know, let's put the positive in. So when I work with clients, I always tell them, look, we got to have a reason to save. It's like when, you know, people always come and they say, okay, Whitney, I want to start investing. I want to buy like Apple. I want to do this. And I said, you know what, that's totally normal. Everybody does that. But that's like going to me and saying, okay, Whitney, I got this plot of land and I want to buy this sofa and this picture and this net. So we're buying the furniture before the house is built, right? The house being built is like the reason that we're saving. So if you're saying, okay, I want to save because, you know, we should go to Hawaii, honey, because we haven't been to Hawaii yet. And this is like a big deal. I really want to do this. This is on my bucket list. And you know what? I don't want to be one of those people that has to worry about coupons when we're retired. And the baby at some point is going to need to go to college. And I had a struggle and I want to make sure the baby has some money. So then it becomes positive that you're saving for, right? Mm. And you're excited about fulfilling. So then we want to define those numbers. Okay, so how much does it take to retire comfortably on your terms? How much does it take to send Junior to school? And how much, you know, I know for something really fun that the two of us really want to do. Then once you have those numbers, then we know what we need to fulfill. And then we just save and we put money aside from that. And then we just spend, and then spending doesn't become a priority. Savings becomes a priority.
So that's really interesting how you just prioritize that. And you're saying it's really not about using the word budget. That can be frightening to people in itself. And just from the standpoint of, oh, this means that I'm going to have to go without something that I may want. So you're saying instead, let's think about, you know, changing our thinking, and it really becomes then a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Rather than
cool
just drudgery.
Exactly. And the great thing, as you know, is that if you have more money, there's always something you can buy. There's no shorter things you can spend money on. So just look at it differently. It's not that I'm giving up this pair of shoes or my coffee or, you know, my beverage at lunch or eating out. But instead, see it as, oh, this is, you know, I really want to take a family to Hawaii. And then it's like, that's your focus. And it's cool because everybody on the team, which is now your family, or it could be your spouse, it could just be the two of you, everybody on the team is saving for one thing. And that becomes really great because you're benefiting not only each other and your relationship, but also you're fulfilling like something very important, which is, it can be like you talked about, retirement planning should be front and center because it's so awful to have someone come to me when they're in their 70s and say, Winnie, what am I going to do? I don't have enough money. But if you're still young, you're in your 50s or 30s or 40s, whatever that number may be, you know, saving at that point is actually so much easier because you still have income coming in.
And that's what we're going to talk about, too, saving for retirement and getting into a type of mindset about saving, you know, with the show with you that we'll have for the next week to really talk about getting behind, you know, that concept of, okay, I'm not just, you know, living or existing with what I'm making and meeting that. You know, a lot of folks are saying, listen, it's hard enough to meet that. And a lot of times you're talking about, too, falling short. And then that's where we have credit card debt.
And yeah, things, but we can make it fun.
You know, and we're going to talk about that. And but right now, folks, we're talking with Winnie's son. And really neat conversation today. We're talking about, you know, how as couples coming together to talk about money. And I want to talk about something, Winnie. You're a managing director with Sun Group Wealth Partners. And you get a lot of questions. You work with a lot of folks, some groups, some, you know, executives, some small business owners. But not everybody is comfortable talking about money. Why is that? What's behind that? And how can we deal with it?
Well, Jen, I kind of see it as being like, it kind of feels, for some people, not everybody, for some people, it feels like getting on the scale. It's like you have to put all your cards out and really show what you have. And, you know, you're always worried that you're going to get judged, that maybe you have debt or you don't have enough money or, you know, that you're not saving properly. But the great news for everybody that's listening is that there's no such thing as being perfect. And everybody, most everybody has had financial challenges here and there. We've all made financial mistakes. And you just got to find, if you feel that way with a relationship, whether it be your CPA or your advisor or, you know, or your spouse, maybe you don't feel comfortable talking to them about money, or you just feel like you're not in a good place. Well, the great news is there's people out there that you can reach out to that you will feel good about. It could be like your sister, but it could be somebody, but you want to have somebody that you can talk to about money. Because once you're comfortable discussing it openly, that's when you can get really empowered to make change.
So opening up and not being embarrassed also, you said that we, you know, oftentimes, you know, many of us will find that we made a financial mistake, but you're saying you can't lean on that to try to get past it so that you can actually begin again. A lot of folks, you know, ups and downs in the stock market. There were times when it was booming. A lot of folks so wiped out or lost jobs.
Absolutely.
And the stress of that.
Yep, people lost homes. You know, unfortunately, bad things have happened to good people financially, and there's been a lot of stuff you don't know who to trust, and all those feelings are really honest and real and reasonable. Like, there's nothing wrong with feeling that way, but you should feel completely confident to walk into an office and meet with an advisor like myself, because you may not fit the typical profile of most of our clients, but that doesn't mean that we can't help you. And I just give you some pointers and be there to kind of coach you and walk you through it, you know, because that's how we learn. And that's how we get better.
Well said. Well, and you're saying don't just walk away because something bad has happened. That may be the time, in fact, when you really need that advice. Check that person out, make sure they're qualified, certified, have references, do all of that. You're saying so that you know you're dealing with a credible person. We talked about top 10 tips, folks. Again, we're talking, taking these lazy, hazy days to talk a little bit about something that, you know, as we think about the crush that comes with tax season and then it gets a little bit quiet sometimes, you know, we're all scrambling during those time of that time of year. If we haven't prepared and now it's like, oh, my goodness, you know, tax day is coming. And for me, that's always a time when I can unearth everything. And I like that time of year because in the sense that, not the pressure of it necessarily, but in the sense that you're like, oh, I remember this statement. I remember this purchase. Was it even worth it? Do I even still have, you know, what I purchased? And it kind of reminds you that this is what you spent money on if you really go through those documents. We're going to talk more about that in our next show with you, Winnie, but, you know, to go through what those financial documents should look like that we're monitoring all year and what we can be doing year round to be better savers versus spenders. So folks, you're going to want to stay tuned with that, with us for that as we approach next week as well. But we're talking again with Winnie Sun, dealing with stuff that affects couples. And one of those stressors right up there is money. And I wanted to talk with you, Winnie, because this is one of the topics that you also highlight for folks is that, you know, very hopeful that you'll have a long-lasting, successful relationship. But still in America, many relationships for married folks still do end in divorce. And that is a real big stressor when it comes to division of assets. How do you divide things? What happens? What should you be talking about? How do you communicate who gets what? And it comes down to, again, one of the topics that we're talking about that are one of those top stressors you mentioned. You said there's also a pre-divorce financial checklist. What is that and what does it really mean?
Well, you know, sometimes, like you said, these things happen and we'll have people come to us and let us know that this is how they feel. And so what do we do to prepare them? And I think the most important thing is on either side is that communication is obviously key, but transparency is so important. So you really want to do an audit of what's going on financially. Because if you don't know what's going on, there's going to be a lot of, I thought this and I thought that, and it's just going to get really ugly. But if you have all the cards on the table, you see every investment, you see every holding, you see every piece of debt, including the mortgage and everything else, then it's easier because then it's just math. And once you can take away the emotion at a very emotional time and make it just math, that portion won't be what you have to deal with.
So what do you have on that checklist? And you're saying this is a way that says a painful time can, some of that stress can be eased by having good communication skills, no doubt. But also when it comes down to you know, defining sort of, you know, how this money is spent or allocated, you're saying communication is key. What are some of the things on that checklist?
Well, you know, we usually do, number one thing is to take an audit of all your financials. You want to see where everything is. So that, and that includes your tax documents. So another thing that I would recommend is that you meet with your financial advisor individually, as well as your accountant individually. If you're comfortable discussing it together, that's great, because that would be a very healthy thing to do as to end this marriage. We've seen a trend now that a lot of couples actually are ending very amicably, and so hopefully that this would be the case. At least if you can't do anything, at least if you can divide the finances amicably, that would be really good. The next thing would be to see what it is that you need to separate in terms of assets. If they're larger assets, such as a home, car, whatnot, then those things need to be written down, documented, and you need to get a financial audit on those and have a plan of action that the two of you mutually agree upon. You know, don't cut the car in half with a chainsaw, but mutually decide on how you want to, you know, we saw that news recently.
Yes.
Right? But make a decision on how do you want to do that. The next thing you want to do is in most states, retirement assets will also need to be divided via quattro. So it's a really good idea to not only look at your taxable investments, that be your savings accounts and CDs and things like that, but also things that you have saved up for retirement, whether it be through your work for 401k or your IRA individually. Some of those assets will have to be divided, so it's a good idea to take a look at what you have. And the other thing that a lot of people don't think about is, because typically retirement assets are designed for long-term growth, so they're invested with a longer time horizon, but when assets are going to be earmarked to be divided, that means that when assets are being divided, certain securities or investments have to be sold and liquidated. So that time frame of you holding that investment is now tremendously shorter. So if, let's say, you're thinking of being divorced in the near future, being that the market's done so well, what I would recommend is you do an audit of your investments. A lot of those investments probably have performed quite well because the market has done well. So why not go ahead and move those assets into something more safe, knowing that you're going to be dividing that soon? It'd be nice to know that what you see on paper today is going to be relatively similar to the to that amount when you do divide it. So that's a big one. So also you need to talk about the flip side, which is debt. So like mortgage, how are you going to deal with that as a couple? And other expenses that you still have pending, like, for example, all the bills that still need to be paid, like the gardening bill and the water bill. How are you going to deal with things like that? And people forget, like, divorce matters can take some time. So you have to amicably be able to deal with all of that. And also think about things such as your living trust, because oftentimes a living trust is done as a couple. Well, if you're thinking about separating, maybe even during that discussion period pre-divorce, that you already know that you don't want, you know, such and such money going to such and such person. So you should have open discussions about that too. There's a lot of other things.
A lot of this too goes back to, I think, what you mentioned, which is communication and having the ability to find some, if it's you know, common ground in the communication or setting up those boundaries as to what you're going to discuss and how you're going to get there. I think it's so great that you're saying more and more couples are coming together to talk about this prior to getting married. And I'm assuming that you're saying have this open discussion before you put a ring on it, as Beyonce would say.
Exactly. Yeah. And find yourself a good friend, like a money coach or a financial advisor, to kind of help walk you through this, because it's so much easier when I'm in the room, because I can see the couples are, they don't want to talk about it, but then I ask the questions and I kind of push them a little bit, and they talk about it and they feel like they're not, like it's a safe zone, right, to have a third party kind of moderate.
Hey, that's really some good advice, an interesting way of looking at it. Well, Winnie Sun, thank you so much for joining us on this edition of Life Advice.
Thank you, Jennifer.
And thanks to all of you for listening. We'll be right back here next week.
for another edition of Life Advice.
Life Advice with Jennifer Lewis Hall has been a production of Magic 98.3 Radio. Be sure to tune in next week for Life Advice with Jennifer Lewis Hall, right here on Magic 98.3.